In this way, the compassion, the love in our heart will continue to expand into our life, into the surrounding. We often complain that, why do we have this life? Why do we have this body? Why do we have this family? This society is so difficult to live with. So when we practice stopping, we stop all complaints. And we recognize that we are here because of all the thinkings, all the words, all the actions that we engage in the past that have brought us here. And sometimes people call that karma, the retribution. Our body is our main retribution. And our environment is another retribution. So we don't complain. We accept where we are. And with the practice, with the support of the Sangha, with the teachings, we know where to go from here. One common, very common tendency that we take is to is not to deal with what's happening inside. Like when we don't have enough space in our heart, we indulge ourselves in different things out there. It is our suffering that is pushing us to go out there and do something out there. It is the lack of love or the absence of love in our heart that is pushing us out there in the hope to find love out there. And so again and again, we go back to the practice of stopping. Allow what is happening inside to stop. And not going forward, just stop. It's important for us to learn the practice of true love as taught by the Buddha. Because many times we think that we love ourselves, we love our family, but we don't really love ourselves. We don't really love our family correctly. And that's why there's more suffering, there's more difficulties in us and in them, in our relationship. So what we're looking for is love. And we should be able to offer ourselves that, to know what it is, in order to offer that to the people we love. like to see love is like a tree. Because love's growing, right? It's like a tree. And this tree has four big roots. And one root is named loving kindness. Loving kindness. The practice of loving kindness is the practice of true love. In order for the tree of love to be strong and healthy, we need to know how to take care of it. The roots have to be strong. And loving kindness is the intention. Intention to bring joy to yourself and to others. Do you have that intention? Do you have that intention? Again, this is a practice. This is not a teacher asking the students, do you have intention? But this question is an invitation for you to touch deeply your intention to bring joy to yourself and to others. Do you have that? Who doesn't have that? And not just the intention, but also the capacity, the ability. So the intention and the capacity to offer joy. Yes, we have this, but we have to be very humble. We have it on and off. We have this sometimes, other times we don't. Other times we have unintentionally the intention to harm people, to hurt people. It's our suffering that is doing that. We don't mean to do that. And so it's important to nourish this intention, to stay connected with this intention, in order to develop the capacity. So usually when we talk about the practice of loving kindness, we talk about cultivating the capacity to offer joy. But really, the practice of touching the intention every day so that we can continue the practice of cultivating joy. You see, these two go together. Oh, I had the intention to make you happy. If you're not happy, that's your problem. Sometimes we say it out loud, other times we say it inside. Yes, you're not happy. Part of it is me, but part of it is you. Like that. And we go in this circle. We waste time and energy by doing that. So we bring that to a stop so that we can touch this intention deeply. We have the motivation to practice. My darling, I know you're there and it makes me very happy. You have your darling in this room? Make sure every day of this retreat, you should find a way to convey that message to him or to her. Because with the collective energy of mindfulness of the whole community, you can do that easily. You can do that through hugging. You can do that through a look, a kiss, or just by holding his or her hand for a walk, or just by picking a flower and invite him or her to smell it, or offering him or her a cup of tea, or a bedtime kiss. You have a million ways to convey this message. Darling, I am so happy that you're there. If we made our beloved suffer so much in the past, and we wait until we go home and say that, he would say, "What are you talking about?" He doesn't trust. And so, with mindfulness, with the intention to love, then you know what's best to say, not to say, what's best to do, not to do in that moment. Darling, I am so happy that you're there, that you're still there. Or I know you're there and it makes me so happy. And when you say it from your heart, it can transform the heart of the other person. While you're here this weekend, from time to time, when you hear the bell, either this bell or the bell for the meals, or the bells during the meals, you can ask yourself, did I offer myself joy this morning? Did I smile this morning or this afternoon? So you hear the bell, you return to your breathing, you stop everything you happen to be doing in that time. It's the calling of your most beloved. My beloved, what are you doing? All thinking, all actions come to a stop, and you bring yourself back completely to your breathing, and you can ask yourself silently, have I brought joy to myself today? That is the practice of true love. And if you realize that since the morning until now, you've been so busy, you had no time to kiss the earth with the sole of your foot, you had no time to listen to the sweet sound of the rain, then do that now. You see, that is the practice of loving kindness. And if you can take good care of yourself, you take good care of your loved ones at the same time. And because you're able to feel that love within, whatever you say, you do, your decision, all come from that place. And you'll be so happy. The second big root of the tree of love is compassion. Compassion is the intention and the capacity to soothe the pain, to relieve the pain in yourself and in other people. And we talked about stopping, calming, creating space, lullabying pain, cradling joy. Remember, it all had to do with this practice of being there for yourself and others to help relieving the pain. Darling, I know you suffer and I'm here for you. It's not knowing in the head. It's feeling in the heart. That is compassion. Because you feel that the other person suffers, you want to be there. If we know that the other person suffers, then our brain, our head, our mind will do gymnastics and say, you suffer because you did that, you did that, you did that. But it's not about that. It's about the heart that feels what is happening out there. You see, this practice, this teaching is very simple, right? It's not complicated at all. It's not hard to understand. But it's not easy. Because we are trained so well to use our brain, our intellect. But what we talk about in this practice is the voice of the heart, to bring the mind to the heart. It's a practice. The root of the tree of love is this one. Dennis.
It's joy.
It's just joy. It's just joy. Joy of being alive. Joy for others. I see your joy as my joy. My joy as your joy. When I am not happy and I see that you can smile, I thank you for your smile. I don't feel that I have so much suffering that I cannot smile. I'm not jealous. I don't disconnect myself from your love, from your smile. Your smile is my smile, and mine is yours. Self, others, and that's just joy. That kind of joy. This is most difficult because in our culture we are trained so much to take care of ourselves and not to let others bother us. Responsibility to the extent that we create separation and the gap of disconnection becomes wider and deeper. The last one, equanimity. Equanimity is non-discrimination, space, letting go. Letting go. Because we can let go, we can enjoy the space that is there. Because we can let go of the idea of self and others, we can be very happy. And love is then true love. But the practice of equanimity, the practice of joy, the practice of compassion, and the practice of loving kindness have mindfulness as their foundation. In order for us to let go of something, if we recognize that something is taking up a lot of space in our heart and we need to let that go, then we need to understand its makeup. We need to stop, we need to investigate, we need to look, right? So the practice of true love is the practice of mindfulness, is the practice of stopping, resting, creating space, cradling joy, cradling pain, the practice of insight. So they go together. Darling, I suffer, please help. I don't feel that he is better than me. He doesn't suffer and I ask him for help. There's no pride here. This joy is the absence of pride. In true love, there's no pride. The pride is one big element that prevents the door of our heart from opening up. I give good Dharma talks. How can I suffer? Yes, some Dharma teachers think like that. I get the lamb transmission from Thai. I get the brown jacket. Suffer? Not me. I don't suffer. Or maybe just a little bit. I can take care of it. That attitude can take us in the direction of suffering. Even with the brown jacket on, we can drown in the ocean of suffering. Even by giving a Dharma talk, but we can go in the direction of suffering. So the Dharma talk should come from here and not from here. So that's a good news, because you can give a Dharma talk half awake and half asleep. With practice, we learn to trust our heart. We learn to dwell in this place, and we learn to trust this place more than anything else. With practice, we heal the wounds in our heart. And the more the wounds in our heart can be healed, the more we trust our heart. Whether we laugh or we cry, whether we sit or we run, it doesn't matter. We trust this place. And if you ask me what is the precious gift that this practice can bring, I can tell you right away. You learn to trust your own heart. You feel safe because you speak from here, you share from here. And for us who received the title Dharma teacher from our teacher, For us who received the 14 mindfulness trainings, the brown jacket from our teacher, that is our practice. Trusting our heart. And this is not just our little heart. This is the heart of the community. This is the heart of the cosmos. My father, he passed away on July 24th. Peacefully. After 5 days, no food, no drink, his eyes closed all those days. He opened his eyes. And then my mom had a gentle stroke on his face and said, "Rest." And he smiled and he passed. When my friends, some of my friends, knew of my dad's passing, they felt, they shared their sympathy. They felt sorry that I lost a wonderful daddy. And other friends said, "Oh, your mother lost a husband. You lost a father, your mother lost a husband." And then there was one other friend who said, "Oh, you lost a father, I lost a brother." If we live in this place, if we practice living this kind of joy, then we see that An Hung lost a father more and more. This is the direction we're going, okay? There's no perfect practice here. It's like the mindfulness trainings. An Hung lost a father-in-law, Bao Tích lost grandpa, Bao Tích's 4 cousins lost grandpa. So many, many losses are here. Dennis has a dear friend named An Hung, and An Hung's father just passed away. You see that loss? And if you live from that place, in that place, that loss and that grief is being held by a countless number of living beings. You don't have to hold that loss for yourself. I want to tell you that after my father's passing, a week, Thầy had a dream. You know who Thầy is? Thầy is the Venerable Thích Nhất Hạnh, just in case you don't know. He had a dream, and in that dream, my father came as a young man, healthy young man. My father passed away at the age of 79. And he came, my dad came, and he asked Thầy, "We go home. Let's go to the home where we were raised in Thanh Hóa, Vietnam." And then for a moment, Thầy hesitated. He hesitated because in the dream he knew that he had so many monastics as his children. And how could that small home can accommodate more than 500 monastics? So he had a moment of hesitation, and then he said, Thai, he said, okay, let's go. We go home right now. And then he woke up from his dream. And I don't know if I'm supposed to share what I'm going to share, but I share it anyway, because I share it from here. He woke up, he made some tea, and he wrote a letter to President Bush. Just a personal letter, not registered mail or anything, regular mail. And in that letter to President Bush, he told the president the story of his brother, recent passing, and his dream. And I said he cried. He cried because you don't think that Thai would cry, right? This is a secret. Because having a loved one who dies is a great loss. It's a big grief inside. And can you, Mr. President, imagine thousands and thousands of people are being killed in Iraq war? So that is the tear for not just the one loved, beloved brother who just died, but it's the tear for many, many brothers who are dying over there. And as students of Thai, we sit and listen to him at the retreat, and we are so grateful for his presence, for the amount of compassion and joy that he has. It's the wisdom, the insight, the look, the listening that contains so much, the substance of wisdom of interbeing. You are my brothers and you are my sisters. I don't even know your name. We haven't connected verbally. But through this practice, we are true brothers and sisters. And there's no such thing as the suffering that I have to hold by myself. There's no such a thing as the joy that I enjoy by myself. There we all are. And our practice is to live in this light as much as possible. We aspire to walk in this direction. And if you have that aspiration, you have that determination, you cannot drown in the ocean of suffering. I guarantee. If I didn't drown, you won't. If we go together on this path, holding hands, don't take off your hand from my hand. Even if you take your hand off my hand, I still hold on to your hand tightly. I wouldn't let you do that. Because one person is a lot. And we need to live this way for a future for our children to be possible. We need to show them that there's this way of looking. There's this way of listening, there's this way of feeling, of living. And all of this is possible If we can take into our heart the practice of stopping, cultivating joy, creating space. It is a space in our heart that helps us to move on in this direction. There's no individual grief. There's no individual mourning. If you're grieving, I am grieving too. What do we need to be afraid of if we grieve together, if we mourn together? If we can walk hand in hand as one big body, if we can enjoy the sound of the rain together with one ear, we can call the Sangha ear. If we can smell the flowers with the Sangha nose, if we can make steps with the Sangha feet, why should we be afraid? This morning in our meditation, we said, breathing in, I'm in touch with the rain. Breathing out, I smile to the rain. If tomorrow morning it still rains, we can practice in light of the teaching of non-self. We can say, breathing in, I'm in touch with the cloud in the rain. The rain is the continuation of the cloud, isn't it? Who said it's not? Raise your hand. Breathing in, hello cloud. In those drops, resting on the ground, hello the cloud. Breathing out, I smile to the cloud in the rain. You do that today. Breathing in, I'm in touch with Daddy in me. Breathing out, Daddy and I are smiling to the beautiful autumn leaves. The practice opens the heart, opens the way. We clear the way so we can see more, we can feel more. It's all like thick jungle, very dark. So, practice. If you think that practice has to be like this, has to sit in this way, has to walk in this way, has to eat in this way, then let go of your practice. Rest on your breath is enough. How do you know if you rest on your breath? If you can settle down here, your mind, your body, your smile can settle down here. There are two ways to take care of our suffering. And one way that I strongly recommend to my friends is indirect. Indirect. Taking care of our suffering. That is the way that we talked about. Cradle. Creating a cradle. Out of joy, out of space, out of peace. So when you sit, when you walk, when you go to bed, and some difficult emotions come up, practice stopping and resting. One time I gave this image, and some people enjoyed it, so I want to share with you. Who had oatmeal this morning? One time we had a retreat at Claymont Court in West Virginia, and we had oatmeal, a bowl of oatmeal, and we had chunky granola, you know, big chunks. And so hot oatmeal, and we put the chunky granola on top, what happens?
Softened.
This is our practice. This is our pain. This is our peace, our joy, our being together. We don't cover the granola up. We leave it in direct contact with the hot oatmeal. It will gradually soften. So easy to understand. It's happening. But we cannot apply that with our practice of taking care of our pain. Because our habit energy of problem solving is so strong. So in fact, one of the friends made a song out of this, but I don't remember. Present. No need. When you are present, you touch. You are in touch with things and people much, much more deeply. You put the prune. In your mouth. You taste the sweetness. You feel the softness of the cooked prune. And you chew the prune. And immediately you're chewing the sunshine. You're chewing the rain. You're dissolving. Into the cosmos. You experience that sense of lightness and freedom. You allow yourself to be a baby of Mother Universe. So when you breathe like that, when you eat like that, you are being fed.
We are hungry. We're not hungry of bread and milk. We're hungry of love. We're hungry of understanding. But you know what? Through mindful eating, you are fed with love. Love that comes to you from the sun, from the rain, from the earth, from the garden, from people here at Pumpkin Hollow, from our community. So that's why when we eat, we chew our food slowly. We have time. We put the food into our mouth, we taste it. If we feel the temperature, we chew. Chewing as an act of making deep connection with all lives. And when you do that, you feel very happy and very satisfying. You know how sometimes we're hungry and we eat? We eat and we eat and we eat. We eat too much. But sometimes it's not just the food that we need to nourish our body. It's also the food called love and understanding.